Is there some incense burning somewhere?
No.
Can you take it somewhere else?
Where?
Like into the woods.
It's right by the
flowers. Like
in the flowers, I can see it coming out of the flowers. One thing about RT is I don't suggest passing around flowers for everyone to smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad idea. Because in this way, everyone will get whatever virus or disease everyone else has. So, you know, I believe in sharing things amongst spice and others. There's this Delta variant of the coronavirus. And I just received news this morning that one of my disciples who was twice initiated got the Delta variant, you know, got sick.
Twice vaccinated?
Twice vaccinated, you know. Both vaccinations.
Is it mild or?
It's pretty mild. But still, you got to be really careful. And also, I was notified in Croatia they have the Delta variant right now. So Croatia's on the dangerous list. So some devotees are coming from Croatia.
Yeah, they just came.
What?
They just came, I think.
They were
Alambika,
just
didn't you come?
She was just
from Croatia. Yeah, Alambika just came from Zagreb.
Train.
But she was just
in. She was just in the train, not with the devotees. That's safer. Because in the train they make you wear a mask, right?
Yeah.
In the temple they don't make you wear a mask.
Yeah.
So. Devotees should be cautious. It's a serious thing, you know. It's not some conspiracy by Bill Gates or someone like that to make you all submissive. It's actually real. I mean, I lost some of my godbrothers in Mayapur, and then in Bhakti Chumaraj passed away. You know, it's really not a joke, so people have to be very cautious.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta vrinda ki jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopikavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Vacharanam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shimani Lasi Devi Kijai Sambhaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premananda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasadaya, Kumple, Srimati Bhaktivinoda Swami. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gaur Pandita, Nirvishesha, Shunyavari, Paschat, Devi. So we're going to read canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, just picking the verse right now. Okay, here it is. Sixth canto, first chapter, text 6. And this, of course, the chapter is entitled The Story of Ajamil. It's interesting. Prabhupada actually named a devotee Ajamil.
Oh my gosh.
It's interesting. Well, Ajamil became a pure devotee when back to Godhead. So it's all right. It's interesting how Prabhupada would name the devotee sometimes, even with names of demons. You know, not that he would name them demon names, but he would actually, the killer of the demons. Mm-hmm. Can anyone think of a name? What's another name? Kishini Sudana. What else are there? What other names? Anyone think of other names? But anyway, so when the devotees would talk or refer to those, to their friends who had those names, they would only use the first part of the name. They'd say, "Hey Kamsa, come here." What's your name? Kamsa. Anyway, so let's continue with this verse, or start with this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is the sun disturbing anyone? For all of you? It's okay. Okay, so I will just read this text, and then we'll go do the word-by-word synonyms. Anuneha mahabhaga yataiva narakannaraha anogra yatanam neyat tanme vyakyatum arasi. So, please repeat. Aduna.
Aduna.
Right now.
Right now.
Iha.
Iha.
In this material world.
In this material world.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
O greatly opulent and fortunate Sukadeva Goswami.
O greatly opulent and fortunate Sukadeva Goswami.
Yata,
yata,
so that,
so that,
eva,
eva,
indeed,
indeed,
narakan,
narakan,
all the hellish conditions,
all the hellish conditions,
into which the impious are put,
into which the impious are put,
naraha,
naraha,
human beings,
human
beings,
nana,
nana, varieties of,
varieties of,
ugra,
ugra,
terrible,
terrible,
Yatanan,
yatanan,
conditions of suffering,
conditions of suffering,
Nahiyat,
Nahiyat,
may not undergo,
may not undergo,
Tat,
Tat,
that,
that,
may, to me,
me,
Vyakyatum,
Vyakyatum,
Arasi,
Arasi,
please describe,
please describe,
translation, O greatly fortunate and opulent Sukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Sukadeva Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now Maharaj Pariksit, being a devotee, is concerned with how this can be stopped. A Vaishnava is para dukkha dukhi. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he is very unhappy to see others in trouble. Pallad Maharaj said, "My Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities and thus enter a trance of ecstasy. I do have a problem, however, for I am simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with maya, sukha, temporary happiness without knowledge of devotional service unto you. This is the problem faced by a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems. But because he is compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls, he is always thinking of plans to save them from the hellish life in this body and in the next. Parikshit Maharaj therefore anxiously wanted to know from Shukadeva Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Shukadeva Goswami had already explained how people enter hellish life, and he could also explain how they could be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Unfortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they have become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of all sane men, is to save them. Maharaj Parikshit is the representative of one who can save them. Again, I'll read the verse in Sanskrit. Aduneha mahabhaga yatayva narakandaraha manogra yatanam neyat tanme vyatyatu arhasi. So Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shavakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvaya Namaha. So we have just finished, at this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we've just finished the fifth canto. The fifth canto has a list of all these interesting hells. Like, if you torture the devotees, this is one of my favorites. If you torture the devotees, you get to be put through a sugar cane press again and again and again. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fun? In your subtle body, so you don't die. In other words, if you would put me through a sugar cane press in this body, I'd be dead. And that'd be the end of the suffering. But in the subtle body, you just continue to suffer again and again. And then other wonderful punishments, like if you're real stingy, then you get to get these little Yamadutas, the Rurus actually. The Rurus get to stitch you, like, you know, with pins and needles and everything like that. It's going to acupuncture. So anyway, so they stitch you, and other punishments is you get to roll a stone up a hill, the stone rolls on top of you, then you get to roll it down, up again. Isn't that cool? Or if you're real romantic, this is my favorite, you get a red-hot form of whoever you're romantic with, you know. Nowadays, you're going to be men, women, you change every day. But anyway, so, and you get your forced embraces. Ah, love! Isn't that cool? Fun. See, you're all laughing. So, but the problem is, I'm trying to elicit laughs from everybody. But the problem is, it's not funny. Because these people are suffering. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he hears about this, his response isn't, hey, this is cool, let me hear more about these hells, you know, Dante's Inferno. Yeah, everybody knows about Dante's Inferno. Yeah. It's, wow, this is, you know, there's nice pictures of Dante's Inferno. Anyone seen pictures of Dante's Inferno? Really cool pictures. So anyway, it's pretty much like what we're talking about now. So Parikshit Maharaj doesn't think it's really cool. He feels compassion. See, that's the difference between us and Parikshit Maharaj. We like to see someone suffer. That's our nature. Especially if someone has done something to us, we want what? Retribution. Everybody knows what retribution is? It means getting even. Get even. You're going to suffer. You offended me. Now you got coronavirus. You offended me. And actually, another point is, these punishments don't stop, or the threat of punishments don't stop people from doing the things that got them the punishments. That's the amazing thing. Because what? Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya priti aparinoti. That's a verse by Lord Shabadev. That the living entity, nunam, one who considers the satisfaction of the senses to be very important, very dear, they become crazy. Nunam pramata. The word pramata, prakriti rupena jayate, you know, that's probably described, means more crazy. Mata means, Prabhupada described this, of course he's our Sanskrit expert. Prabhupada described mata as being crazy, and pramata means like extremely crazy or very crazy. So one who considers the satisfaction of the... So in other words, one is forced to act. Avritam gyanametena gyanino nijavairana kamarupena kontiya dushparena lenacha. That the senses are on fire. So even if you know you're going to be punished... I mean, the perfect example that I use in this regard is people who smoke cigarettes. Now, I don't know if it's that way here in this country... But in many countries, they not only say that cigarette smoking is dangerous for you and cause diseases, you know, cancer and everything like that, but some countries, they have actually have pictures.
Yeah, we have that.
You have that here. Mm-hmm. They have pictures of the disease, pictures of cancer. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine, you know, someone buys something, okay, you look at the picture, cancer, it's all right. It's healthy. In the old days, the cigarette companies actually had doctors make testimonials that cigarette smoking was healthy for you. Mm. Helped you relax, you know, it was really good for you. But nowadays, of course, the doctors are actually more pious. That's a joke. They're still interested in making money. The interesting thing is all these people in society, doctors and politicians and lawyers, they only have one interest, most of them, is what?
Money.
Money. Money. You know, lawyers, especially politicians. Money, prestige, power, like that. So, anyway, getting back to the point is that it's not going to stop people from doing sinful activities just by the threat of punishment. I remember even when I was young, my mother would threaten to punish me for doing certain things. And I just figured out it made it more attractive to do those things. Because I just figured out how to get away. Of course, you can't get away from the law of karma. But people think they can. It's just like, in America they have radar detectors to detect where the police are. So you speed, and then you hear the beep, 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 beep. And then you slow down. But there's no radar detector for Yamaraj. You know, because what it's described in the Bhagavatam, that he actually can see everything. Oh my God. You can't hide from Yamaraj. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? You can go into your room, lock the doors, go on your computer and watch something, and then Yamaraj is watching you. Pretty scary. But, of course, he's able to be conscious, cognizant of what you're doing because of his connection with Supersoul. He's not actually omniscient, but he's connected to Supersoul. So Supersoul reports. Supersoul is the spy in your heart. That's a description, isn't it? Spy in your heart. He reports to Yamaraj that so-and-so devotee didn't chant his rounds today. I don't know if he reports on rounds, but anyway, or reports to the spiritual master that so-and-so is a rascal. Okay, so people don't stop doing sinful activities. So Brikshit Maharaj is not interested in retribution, which most people are interested in. He is interested in restoration. When one studies justice, there are two theories that is as far as dealing with people who committed crimes. One is restorative justice, the one that is retributive justice. Retributive justice basically means you make someone suffer for what they did. And unfortunately, as we mentioned before, it really doesn't work because there's there's like a revolving door in the prison houses. You know, people do something, they have to suffer for what they did, and they're punished, and then they come out again, and then they do the same thing. I think it's called recidivism. Yeah, recidivism is the technical word for that. So people don't change. So Pariksit Maharaj is well aware of that. And he's asking his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami, how can we save people from these hellish conditions? I mean, what's the methodology to save people? And basically, not only to save them from the hellish conditions, but to keep them from performing more sinful acts. This is his compassion. Not like us who are laughing at all the punishments. He's thinking, oh my God, what can I do to help these people? And Prabhupada also here cites Prahlad Maharaj is also thinking, how can I help my father? Can you imagine if you had a father who was torturing you in all the ways that Prahlad Maharaj was tortured? Oh my God. Can you imagine? I mean, thrown off a cliff, put in a pit of vipers, poisoned, put in a fire, all these different punishments. I mean, would you be thinking kindly about your father after that? Mm-hmm. You'd be thinking, get rid of the creep. Actually, I was just reading in France. There was a lady who killed her husband who was abusive. And there was a court case about it. And she got off, which is all right. I mean, obviously, you know, she was protecting herself. That's okay. Force or violence can be used when one is protecting oneself. We're not against violence. But just to get even with someone and teach someone a lesson. And in America, for example, where you have capital punishment, I don't believe you have capital punishment here, do you?
No.
When a criminal is going to be punished, sent to the electric chair, and nowadays actually they even have firing squad in some states. You have firing squad? Like that. People camp outside of the prison just to get the first news of when the person is going to get killed. And when it's called tailgating. I don't know if anyone knows what tailgating is. Of course she knows what tailgating is. Tailgating means you have these pickup trucks. You know what a pickup truck is? You do, because you're American. You all know what a pickup truck is. A pickup truck is a truck with an empty space. Because if I say bed, everyone will think it's a place to sleep. But it's empty space in the back, and it has a tailgate that goes down. So the people pack, the people camp outside of the prison houses on these pickup trucks. It's called tailgating. And then when they hear that the person is being killed, they celebrate. You know, so they're actually celebrating that someone is being hurt, or tortured, or killed, or whatever. But that's not a Vaishnava mentality. Vaishnava is like Prahlad Maharaj, who simply prayed to Lord Nrisimhadeva to save his father from a hellish condition. And so that's the proper route. So Prahlad Maharaj, Maharaj Pariksit. All right, so there's this whole discussion going on between Pariksit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami. And Pariksit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami, how can these living entities, these sinful living entities, be freed from committing the same thing again and also freed from the hellish punishment? And Pariksit Maharaj wants to test his disciple. I mean, Shukadeva Goswami, sorry. Shukadeva Goswami wants to test Pariksit Maharaj. And he tells him, first, what is that? Prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means atonement. Just like in the religion that I was brought up in, you have one day of atonement a year for your sinful activities. It's much better than the Catholic religion where you have to atone every week. Isn't it? I mean, it's pretty cool. You're sinful the whole year. And you have one half day of fasting. not even a full day, and you can even eat grains in the evening, you know, it doesn't matter, and meat, of course. And then you just, for half the day, you're going, dear God, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me for what I did, for all the sins that I committed this year, and after that, you just pig out. And in the Catholic religion, of course, they have confession, right? They confess, you know, Prayasjit confession. And actually, traditionally, the monks in the Catholic Church would undergo all these Prayasjita types of austerities and tortures to try to overcome their sinful desires, right? One time I went into this place, and they also have a place like this in London. It's called Ripley's Believe It or Not. Anyone's heard of that before? And it, on the bottom floor, they would show these medieval things that, you know, that monks in the medieval times would do. And it's really hellish stuff. Or anyone's watching that movie, what, The Da Vinci Code? Anyone seen that movie? Mm-hmm. They had the monks with self-flagellation. Sometimes I see devotees do that too.
Inside,
yeah. I'm horrible, I'm a demon, I'm the lowest, I'm the stool of a dog. Worm and stool, sorry. I made up the dog stuff. So I'm a worm and stool, ew! I'm worse than Jagai Mata. Of course, some pure devotees talk like that, and they're actually, that's just their real humility, but we're just beating ourselves up. So Prayaschitta, that's what Prayaschitta means, atonement. Atone for your sins. And, of course, actually, on the other hand, you have many Christians, at least in America, the Baptists and the Methodists, who say you don't have to atone, you just have to believe in God. Or believe in Jesus, sorry. You don't have to do a damn thing. That's pretty interesting. All you believe and you'll be saved. Right, isn't it? They say, believe and you'll be saved. And of course, when I'm talking to them, I say, make the comparison, I say that the criminal believes in the government, which doesn't make them honest. So simply believing that Jesus exists doesn't save you from anything. And of course, we do have that statement in the Vedic literatures, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ashura Sabdevishara Sakahe Sutra Nishya. That real faith, a real belief, means doing the right thing, not just believing in the existence of a particular individual, or saying, I surrender to you. You know, sometimes it's very sentimental. I've seen some of these songs. I mean, not a criticism of all Christians or anything like that, but of sentimentality. It's a criticism of sentimentality. These songs, I surrender. He died. You know, it's just like walking around here, you see so many crosses. And Prabhupada didn't like to see Jesus Christ on the cross. I mean, I appreciate it's religious. You know, I walked up the hill. There was a little church up there with a cross, actually all over the road. And I appreciate that people have some connection with God in their lives. But Prabhupada was just like thinking, how can you actually think of your spiritual master in that way? I mean, just like when we have a picture of Prabhupada, we have a picture of Prabhupada sitting and giving class, you know, the deity giving class, or the picture of Prabhupada preaching Krishna consciousness. But generally, on our altar, we don't put a picture of Prabhupada lying down, getting ready to leave this world for the final day, as you know. Or we don't. Can you imagine if I said, Prabhupada died for my sins? I'd probably be kicked out of the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada died for my sins. Therefore, I can do anything I want because Prabhupada died for my sins. Prabhupada is freeing me. And so, you know, smoke the marijuana. So Pariksit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami says, Prayaschitta, atonement. And Pariksit Maharaj disagrees with his spiritual master. Oh my God, mad elephant defense. It's not a mad elephant defense because Prabhupada said blind following absurd inquiries are condemned. So one shouldn't follow the spiritual master blindly. One has to follow with intelligence. And you see, some of the closest disciples that of Srila Prabhupada, like Tamal Krishnamurti, they would sometimes argue with Prabhupada. With with the proper etiquette. You know, they would disagree with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada sometimes would chastise, would scream at them. Like one time Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishnamurti, "You are going to China," because he wanted it. He wanted to send him away because Tamal Krishnamurti was harassing everybody in North America. That was like sending someone to Australia. Anyway, so at one point Tamal Krishnamurti even wanted to send all the women and householders to Australia to protect America for the brahmacharis. So anyway, so Prabhupada, you know, so Prabhupada said to him, "You're going to Australia. I'm sorry, you're going to China." And Tamal Krishnamurti said, "I'm not going." Wow. This is a spiritual master. Mm. And Prabhupada said, got so angry, Prabhupada said, "Either you go, if you don't go, you're just sitting down here in my form, taking all your service away from you." Then eventually Tamal Krishnamurti gave it. So the point is that blind following and absurd inquiries are not recommended in Krishna consciousness. So Parikshit Maharaj actually disagreed with Shukadev Goswami. He said, the reason Prayaschitta doesn't work is people have uncontrolled senses, and as we know, when they do some atonement, it doesn't get rid of what we call the Papa Bija. Papa Bija means the father, Papa. No, it means, Bija means seed. Papa means sin. The sin. It doesn't get rid of that sin, the desire to enjoy your senses, the desire to pig out. It doesn't get rid of that nunam pramatal vikarma. It doesn't get rid of it. So ultimately, you know, back and forth, they had this discussion, and ultimately they came to the conclusion that the only thing that works is what? Anybody know? Nobody knows this. Chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna. And the verse is what? Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangan Mangalang Angasam Mahatama Vikoravya Vijikantaka Nishkatam. This is the only thing that works. Because otherwise, if you simply do atonement, it's like an elephant Kundra Sotra. It's like an elephant bathing. And when he comes out of the water, throws the dirt on himself or herself. So this is the point, that the chanting of the holy names is the only thing that actually works, just to keep us from performing activities that are counterproductive to Krishna consciousness, and also activities that may send us to the hellish planets or cause us to suffer or cause bad karma. So, but the chanting of Hare Krishna has to be done with the proper mood. It's not simply chanting Hare Krishna. One has to chant according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. And when one chants like that, one of the symptoms of that, in addition to one having a higher taste and therefore not being interested in doing anything that's counterproductive to Krishna consciousness, one of the main symptoms is compassion for others. That's why we, as I mentioned yesterday and as we're mentioning in our seminar, that a devotee is Kripam Buddhyodhyastam. He's an ocean of compassion. Panchakalpa Guru Vishta Kripa Sindhu. That's Kripam Buddhyastam. That's Lord Chaitanya. And a devotee is an ocean of compassion, an ocean of mercy. So being an ocean of compassion, being an ocean of mercy, these are the symptoms that you're chanting nicely. That's how it comes. You can't artificially achieve this compassion. Why? Because you have these wonderful things called what? Anarthas in the heart. And they, you can keep them down for some time. You know, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, and the wonderful qualities. Which the media is trying to increase. in the modern world. You know, trying to increase the lust, especially the lust and anger. You know, if you watch the news, greed. I mean, just the modern society, in order to for the economy to function in modern society, you have to have a great deal of greed. Otherwise, you know, people are just going to buy something and keep that thing and not buy another one. You know, not upgrade their cars. Of course, the scientists or technologists are so expert, they have this thing called planned obsolescence. It helps in that regard. Everybody knows what planned obsolescence is. Planned obsolescence means when they design something, they design it in such a way that it will break down after a certain amount of time. Number one, or it will go out of style. Let's take Apple, for example. Sorry about that. The Apple, for example, like in the iPhones. No one's heard about that. Because you're protected here in Slovenia. You don't know what Apple is. You don't know what iPhones are. You don't know what computers are. Anyway, we're living here in the forest. Heating with wood. So anyway, so every year they come out with the latest, you know, iPhone. Of course, there's that famous joke I always tell. You go to a particular family, and you interview members of the family about what their gadgets are. And the daughter says, you know, iPhone. And the wife says, you know, iMac. And the son says, iPad. And the father says, I paid. You know. So that's also part of planned obsolescence, you understand? Because it's always a new thing coming out, you know, upgrade, the latest features. And that increases the greed. Because if you look at all this technology, it hasn't made us, of course, made me happy. But anyway, hasn't made any of you happy. I mean, basically, so people, now they're texting each other, you know. What are they saying when they're texting each other? Do you text your wife sometimes?
You talk in person more.
Oh, we talk in person more. So they're texting each other, you know, sweet little nothings. Anyway, so... It hasn't improved the quality of life, but let's say it's useful. It is useful, actually, to a certain extent. But they're trying to get you to buy more and more and throw away things that you have. And in this way, the economy is based on greed. It stimulates your greed. It stimulates your lust. I mean, you look at the billboards, even in Slovenia, you look at the billboards and there's pictures of, you know, half-dressed people on the billboards or whatever, anger, you know, and then you read the news, you get angry at someone or something. Especially in America, it's like that. You got half the country angry at the other half. And the news does that. And illusion, you are the body. You know, you are your gender. You are your color. You are, anyway, I'm not going to get into criticizing anyone here. So, I've got to be careful. So the whole point is when we chant the holy name with devotion, then we actually get a higher taste. So we can eliminate these anarthas in our hearts. And in this way, have true compassion, because true compassion does not arise until one can become tolerant of the pushings and pullings. And Lord Kapiladeva makes that point in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, what? Tatikshava karunika. He says, what is tatikshava to be?
Tolerant.
So unless one can what? Bacho vegam manasakrota, same thing. Bacho vegam manasakrota vegam jiva vegam udurapasha vegam. One can tolerate these pushings and pullings. then one can actually become Karunika, merciful. So it's not an artificial thing. It's not that we can teach people to be compassionate. It has to come from the ability, from the spiritual potency and standard of being able to tolerate the pushings and pullings of the senses and having a higher goal in life. The Tikshuva Kurunika. And that whole verse of Lord Kapilade is instructing his mother Devahuti is all about compassion. Tadikshapa Kurunika. Suvida Sarva Dehina. A friend to all living entities. Ajata Shatura, right? Not having an enemy or an enemy, one's enemy is never born. Shanta, peaceful. Anyway, this is the class about compassion. So anybody have any questions or comments about anything? Yeah.
I heard you saying, Maharaj, that we cannot teach people compassion, right?
No, I mean, ultimately, we can teach about compassion.
So,
but ultimately, without the purification of the heart, it's not going to stick.
Yeah. So, I don't know how to be polite.
What?
How to ask politely.
Ask politely.
So what is the role of empathic communication?
The role of empathic communication is to help one learn the process of being of compassion, but at the same time, part and necessary part of that process is to actually be able to tolerate the pushings and pullings of one's own senses. And ultimately, you know, when one becomes Krishna conscious, ultimately coming to the point of being completely aloof, because that requires one being on the absolute spiritual platform. But if we want to really be completely free from the tendency, even the tendency to be uncompassionate, to use a negative, then we have to deal with anarthas. Because, yes, empathic communication can help one deal with it, but to be completely free of the tendency to exploit, completely free of the tendency to judge one, and have to be completely free, one has to be Krishna conscious. I mean, if you read, referring to Marshall Rosenberg, he talks about that, that in his book, one book, he talks about one time his son said something to him, and he said, "Do you want me to respond now, or do you want me to take some time?" So one who's completely Krishna conscious, their instantaneous response would be compassionate. They would have no tendency. But for those who are not, of us who are not completely Krishna conscious, yes, it helps us develop this and not respond in an uncompassionate way by taking the time to process things. But someone who is completely Krishna conscious, he doesn't have to take the time to process. So it's an intermediate step for those who are not completely pure devotees. It's helpful, intermediate step, helps us understand the process of compassion. But ultimately, to be 24/7 compassionate requires to be Krishna consciousness. We require Krishna consciousness. Okay, thank you for your question. Any other questions? Yeah.
What should be our response when we spot the anarthas?
What should be the response? When we spot the... Well, the way I usually explain it is that if we spot that we have a particular anartha in our hearts, I usually take it as a challenge, an opportunity. Just like if someone is... let us say, practicing to enter the Olympics, you know, satsang. And they discover some deficiency in their performance. They take that as a challenge rather than something that discourages them. So if we discover anartha in our hearts, you know, obviously, we should be honest about, you know, we have so many anarthas in our hearts, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, etc. And then we take that as a challenge, like a kshatriya mentality, and we take it as a challenge. How do I deal with this? Well, I have to chant better. Just like someone who's going to school, they don't do so well on the tests, then they take it as a challenge. I got to study more. I have to do better. So we take that as an indication that we have to chant better. Chant better, serve the devotees better, more. Take up the process more enthusiastically. You know, if we find these symptoms manifest in our heart, it's an indication of some deficiency in our performance of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it should make us more enthusiastic. And whenever I discover anything in my heart, I just start chanting. Yeah, that's my response. Yeah, I'll give you a practical, personal example. Many years ago, I was accused of doing something that I didn't do. You know, sometimes I do things that are worthy of punishment. But in this particular case, and I was angry. I was ready to curse the person, explode. But then, you know, I realized this is not a Krishna conscious response. So I just started going for really long walks for a few days, chanting Hare Krishna at the same time. And then by chanting, I was able to see things in the correct perspective. And seeing things in the correct perspective, then I became compassionate upon the people who were accusing me or saying things about me that were not true. And then I started to pray for them. But I don't think I could have done it through any other means. You know, I could have tried to process it using empathic communication, but I think the chanting was much more effective. You know, empathic communication to me is a tool, but it's not the panacea. Panacea means like the cure-all. It's not the cure-all. The cure-all is Krishna consciousness. I have to be really clear about that. And, you know, just like chanting and the association of devotees, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the words of the pure devotees. I mean, that to me that's the cure-all. Like that. And, you know, other means I can adopt in the meantime while I'm still a rascal. That are helpful. That's funny, rascal. Actually, it's not a good idea to call yourself a rascal. We should just have that self-identification that we're part and parcel of Krishna. So, any other questions? Good questions. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I have a comment from this.
What?
Comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was shocked, so like 20 years ago plus, I was somewhere there. I think that Dalai Lama came to Slovenia for a visit, and he had a huge gathering in Tivoli Park. And he started with, "I'm sorry, I will not talk big words. I would just like to talk about compassion." And he had the whole lecture.
That's very nice.
2 hours about compassion. It was surprising for me as some spiritual person who was talking about that only.
Yeah, that's very important. However, without the purification of the heart, one's compassion is limited. And I'll give a practical example with the Dalai Lama. You know, he does eat things that are that we don't eat. And he was asked, a devotee actually was sitting next to him on the plane, I don't know if you've ever heard this story before, and said, Dalai Lama, you know, why are you eating meat? And he just said, well, it tastes good.
Aww.
Or something like that. So that's why, you know, we could talk about compassion, but without applying Krishna consciousness, it doesn't become holistic. It's not, doesn't affect every segment of our beings or every segment of our lives. True compassion should be there 24/7. Now, that, I don't really want to criticize him because it's obviously, it's nice he talked about compassion. However, my understanding of Krishna consciousness is that it's the only, chanting Krishna's names purely is the only methodology for purifying the heart, because you have to purify the heart. In the meantime, yes, there are different mechanisms by which we can exhibit more compassion to others. You know, we could study psychology, philosophy, whatever. Just like, I mean, there's things you can do. Just like in America, sometimes there's these people who are racist, you know, against people who are black. So if you put someone who is racist, that's a designation diagnosis, but anyway, I'm using it, with a black person having talked together, then after a while they develop compassion for the other person. So there are different strategies that can help people piecemeal develop compassionate attitude towards certain living entities. There are certain strategies, but to have a holistic purification of the heart, a holistic attitude of compassion towards all living entities, you require Krishna consciousness. I mean, I'll give you another example. When I was at this intensive, nonviolent communication intensive, I think I've mentioned this to you before, and, you know, we all ate together in the evening. Of course, I just ate my raw food because I was Krishna conscious, not now. But anyway, I was eating my raw food, and the cook came out and said, tonight we have a special dish for you. Chicken cacciatore, or whatever, cacciatore, you know, I don't even know how to pronounce it. And I couldn't restrain myself. I just yelled out, what about compassion for the chicken? And everyone looked at me like I was the biggest demon on the block. Shut up. So, true compassion has to be holistic, all living entities. One has to be compassionate to an ant, to a cockroach, to whatever race a person is. I mean, it can't be achieved. My understanding, or my realization, is that it can't be achieved any other way other than purification of the heart. Although we could apply other means to help keep society, or help society be more compassionate. But we definitely need to purify the heart. So, I mean, Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada was compassionate. I remember Prabhupada one time, he saw a bug on his garland, and instead of going, which is what I usually do, he said, ew, bug. Prabhupada said to the devotee, take him outside, he's hungry. So that's true compassion. And that's can only be achieved by spiritual vision. Spiritual vision can only be achieved by purification of the heart and Krishna consciousness. Okay. I think it's time for prasadam. You have to be compassionate to me so I can take prasadam. So, is that all right? all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.